This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:14 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. And we have an update of sorts because last Wednesday's Singapore's Court of Appeal ordered Nagendran K. Damalingam's lawyers, M. Ravi and Violet Netto, to personally pay $20,000 to the country's Attorney General's chambers for incurring unnecessary court costs by filing, and I quote, unmeritorious applications and delaying Nagendran's execution.
So initially, actually, the AGC had sought personal cost totaling 40,000 Singapore dollars. Ravi has now been ordered by the Court of Appeal to bear 75% of the costs. Violet Netto, who later took over as lawyer, has been ordered to bear the remaining 25%. Why all of this, I think, is relevant and important against the backdrop of this is because essentially, death penalty activists in Singapore and elsewhere, of course, are pointing to this as a way in which legal aid and help for prisoners on death row is being almost not denied, but made very difficult because essentially lawyers are hesitant to take on these cases in case it turns out to be something like this again.
Yes, where this cost order is being made a month right after the execution in question. And I think that there's a lot to unpack here. And this is a sort of very sad coda to what was already a sad story. Send us your thoughts. You can, of course, call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 01878988899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now to talk about this in more detail is N. Surendran, advisor for Lawyers of Liberty. Surendran, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thanks.
So, what were your thoughts when you heard this news of Nagendran's lawyers being ordered to pay $20,000?
I mean, the first thing that occurred to me is that this is going to be the final nail in the coffin of many Malaysian death row prisoners who are now in Changi Prison, awaiting execution. Because even prior to this, over the years, the Singapore authorities have made it more and more difficult for these kind of constitutional legal challenges to be taken up on behalf of death row prisoners. And in other words, they have been tightening the screws on the Singaporean lawyers and discouraging them in every way that they can from taking up these cases, which have become very politically sensitive for them for some reason, because it is the policy of the Singapore state to be hard on these so-called drug traffickers, particularly Malaysians who are coming over across the causeway. So with this 20,000 order, we expected this because we knew that the Attorney General's chambers is going to go hell for leather against Mr. M. Ravi and Violet Netto and Charles Yeo and others who have very valiantly stood up for the rights of Malaysian death row citizens. But with the passing of this order, 20,000 in cost, which Singaporean lawyer is going to come forward for the next for the remainder of the Malaysian death row prisoners now? Who's going to file cases for them? You know, that is what, you know, that is the big question, and that is the dilemma and the difficulty that we're all facing now.
Could you help us understand the rationale that's being given by the court for issuing this order?
You see, the rationale of the court is actually irrational, because the Chief Justice himself, sitting in the Singapore Court of Appeal, said that our grounds was to say that Nagendran had mental disability and we had failed to prove that and had not adduced any evidence. But it was the very same court that had dismissed out of hand our application to call independent psychiatrists and experts to testify as to the state of Nagendran's mind, particularly after he had been held for solitary confinement for more than a decade and his mental state was little more than that of a child, which his family members saw it, his lawyers saw it, but the government and the government lawyers and the court denied it. So what the Chief Justice said is that it was an unmeritorious application, we hadn't proved it, but they themselves stopped us from bringing the evidence that would have made it, that would have proven that Nagendran was neither fit to be executed, nor ought he to be held further, but he ought to have been released. due to all the flaws in the process by which he was convicted. This was a person who was mentally disabled. They treated him like an ordinary defendant from day one, from the moment he was arrested. You know, there were no special accommodations made for a person with that kind of disability. They went ahead through the court process and they convicted him. And it's astonishing that the Singapore government has repeatedly, through their ministers and others, repeatedly come and said that our citizen, Nagendran, received a fair trial process. He did not. And the world saw that, which is why there was a global outcry over Nagendran's case.
So a group of 20 civil society groups has pointed out this move violates Rule 16 of the UN Basic Principles on the Role of Lawyers. Can you tell us more about this rule and how it's how does this order contravene this principle?
Well, Rule 16 is the expression of a very simple rule which all civilized countries apply, which is that you cannot and you must not intimidate lawyers who are carrying out their duties. And that is the essence of Rule 16. It places a duty on the state to protect lawyers who are carrying out their duties, particularly in criminal matters, and what more in capital cases. Now, it's not just Rule 16 of the UN rules. Even the Constitution of Singapore has got an Article 9 which says that every person is entitled to legal process and the right to life, and cannot be deprived of life or liberty except through due process. That encapsulates within it the right to a fair trial. So Rule 16, their own constitution, all was breached when Singapore started this. I can only describe it as a war on Singaporean lawyers who were daring enough to come out and defend these Malaysians languishing in death row in Singapore's notorious Changi prison. And now we are afraid no one will come forward. In fact, I think I can safely say that they're not coming forward anyway, because even in Nagendran's case, don't forget that the mother had to go and stand in the well of the highest court in Singapore, you know, a lady with a terrified mother with basic education, and had tried to argue her own case, because no Singapore lawyer wanted to defend her. And 2 days later, Dachnamurthy Kathia, another Malaysian, had to file his own application for stay of execution and argue his own case again in both the High Court and the Court of Appeal in the space of one day. So the proof of the pudding is in the eating. Why are all these people arguing their own cases? Why can't they get lawyers? Obviously because the Singapore system has so frightened the lawyers there that they simply won't come forward anymore. There's not even any dispute about this.
So sections 355 and 357 of Singapore's Criminal Procedure Code does allow for the accused and or their lawyers to be ordered to pay the cost to the prosecution when it comes to criminal trials. Are these provisions often used and in what sorts of situations?
These provisions are actually essentially unlawful and unconstitutional. But in Singapore, it's very difficult to challenge a rule or a law that is unconstitutional, because we know the state of that country's judiciary. I need not say more than that. But these provisions have been increasingly used in recent years, particularly against this kind of constitutional challenges and death penalty challenges. Increasingly, almost in every case where there has been an 11th hour death penalty challenge, they have used this in order to punish the lawyers. For example, Mr. M. Ravi, who fought for Nagendran's life, and Ms. Violet Netto, Mr. M. Ravi is facing, I think, this 20,000, and then there's another 12,000 from another case that he called for review in a death penalty case. Then there's the other case, the racial discrimination suit, 17 Malay defendants. He's also, he's got another 10,000 cost charge there. Then there's the breach of privilege communications between the Malaysian defendants and their lawyers, a shocking event, quite another entirely serious matter, another topic there. That's another 10,000. So can you imagine how many separate costs they have subjected Mr. Ravi to, simply because he had taken up these challenges? And you can never say that they are not without merit, you know. For example, the breach of privilege communications between prisoners and the lawyers who can say that that is a case that has got no merit? It had merit, and yet Mr. Ravi had to pay 10,000 Singapore in cost, 10,000 Singapore dollars in cost. So this is the situation. To round it all up, what we have to realize here in Malaysia is that the Malaysian death row prisoners in Singapore are not getting a fair trial process. To say that this is the legal system of another country and we can't interfere is foolish. We don't interfere if our citizens are getting a fair shake, a fair process there, but they're not.
You've spoken, you know, quite extensively about how this might impact lawyers or keep lawyers from working similar cases. But how then, if I could extend it, might it affect clients who are in need of these sorts of services, particularly those from lower income groups?
No, it impacts them the worst because they cannot afford to find high-powered lawyers. They rely on pro bono, public-spirited lawyers like Mr. Ravi and Violet Neto and others. When the Singapore state shuts down these lawyers and loads upon them this kind of oppressive penalties and fines, they cannot carry out their job. In fact, Mr. Ravi's license has also been temporarily suspended. So who will they go to? They cannot afford it. And defendants from lower socioeconomic strata, the fact of the matter is almost everyone who ends up in this situation is from the lower socioeconomic strata. Rich kids from Bangsa don't get caught for this. Or if they are, they'll get the best lawyers in town. If the poor kids, you know, from poorer areas in Johor and other places who cross over, who get caught in this kind of things. And in fact, that is the way of the world. It is always those from the lower socioeconomic strata who end up in jails and who end up facing execution, who end up facing long-term prison sentences anyway. This is something we all know, but, you know, society closes an eye and carries on as normal. But coming back to this, yes, as usual, those who will get hit hardest are the poorest.
Now, this has gotten a fair amount of pushback and criticism. Do you think there's a possibility that the order could be retracted?
Well, you know, so far, yes, it could be retracted if the Malaysian authorities, Malaysian government and people over here speak out strongly on behalf of our citizens in trouble overseas. They're not getting a fair trial. And recently, there was the controversial visit by the Singapore Foreign Minister, Vivian Bala, and the Prime Minister and other ministers, you know, rushed to meet him. And I do not, and there was no information that, they can meet him. But did they raise the issue of Nagendran and the others who are now facing dire danger in the Singapore justice system? Because the Foreign Minister came over just weeks after Nagendran's execution, and this same Foreign Minister, Vivian Bala, have had the cheek to defend the execution of Nagendran. So I think that the other government has to do more and take a stronger stance and intervene directly and say, look, we are concerned about the way you're treating our citizens. They're not getting a fair trial. We've got all these reports. You explain. You ensure that they have lawyers and you stop, you know, imposing these kind of exorbitant fines on lawyers who come forward. The Malaysian government has to do that. The Prime Minister has to do that. They've got to do something more. And everyone has to speak up on this issue because, you know, protecting the most vulnerable, the most despised section of society is the right thing to do for everyone. It is the right thing to do.
Surendran, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
That was N. Surendran, advisor for Lawyers of Liberty, weighing in on a disappointing turn of events, really.
I was going to say appalling, but
No, appalling is right. An appalling turn of events because Singapore's Court of Appeal has ordered Nagendran Damalingam's lawyers to personally pay $20,000 to the country's Attorney General's chambers. And that, of course, has knock-on effects, as we've discussed. Let us know what you think. You can send those thoughts our way. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.